Turn with me in God's word to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We'll continue in James this morning. And we'll look at the next few words within one of the verses. So it's not a big section, but let's just read 5 for the context. For those of you who may not have heard a previous message on this, I think it would be good to read the whole chapter. James 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and have seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So James chapter 5, and I want to center our thoughts in verse 15 of James 5, looking at the second half of that verse. So, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. So James is saying there, he's speaking to the church, and he's speaking to people who are having a rough time of it. People who are under the cosh, as it were, of life. under pressure and suffering. And he tells them how to react. He says, let him pray. Let him pray. That is the counsel that James gives to this subgroup within the church who are suffering right now. When I spoke on that last time, I gave you a number of examples of those who were suffering and those who prayed. And we thought of the Israelites under Egypt. In Egypt, under Pharaoh and under the Egyptians and their suffering and the persecution that they experienced. And yet they called out to God, and God remembered his covenant and he delivered them. We thought of Hannah suffering in her childlessness. We thought of the apostles suffering at the hand of the Jewish authorities, being beaten and being imprisoned, and Paul and Silas and so on. And we thought of those who were suffering and this condition that they were in, but this counsel from James that they should pray, that they should pray. And you and I experience limitations, don't we? We experience the frailties of life in our bodies. We experience difficulties in our lives. We know what it is to be disappointed. We know what it is to be grieved in our circumstances. That the Lord can give and the Lord can take away. And maybe you know what it is to have profound disappointment and grief, and it hurts deeply. And maybe you feel overwhelmed in your circumstances, or maybe you feel the responsibility of maybe nurturing your children and the burden that brings, the joy, but also the burden that brings. Or maybe you're suffering spiritual attack from Satan and the powers of darkness. Well, Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to give up. Not to faint. Men and women, boys and girls, believing people are not to give up, but are to pray. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. And we thought of that phrase, didn't we? Don't panic, pray. Don't panic, but pray. And James is talking to those at one end of the spectrum in their circumstances and in their state of heart. But now, this morning, we'll think about those on the other end of the spectrum and state of heart when he says this. Is anyone cheerful? Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. And it's interesting, isn't it? That in one verse you have people at two different ends of the spectrum. As I speak to you this morning, there are some of you who are at different ends of the spectrum in terms of your circumstances, in terms of where you are in your lives at the moment, and what is happening to you. Some of you are still in the suffering camp. Some of you, James is wisely saying, you keep praying. Bring your burdens to the Lord in prayer. But some of you are going to be in a joyful condition of heart this morning. This message is really for you. But for those who are suffering, please don't switch off. Because the Lord is a Lord who delivers. He sets our feet upon the rock. He brings us out the miry clay. And he puts a new song in our mouths. So it may not be long until this message is for you. So please, hide it in your heart. Pray and meditate over it. So the title of the message is Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. So as with the condition of suffering and the counsel of praying, there is a condition of heart here this morning. What is it? Is anyone cheerful? Are you cheerful today? Are you in a good state of soul today? How are you feeling today? How are you feeling this morning? Where are you spiritually this morning? Are you in a well or a good state of soul? That's what James is saying here. Are you in a good state inside as you've come this morning to worship God? Is anyone cheerful? Is anyone cheerful? And what James is saying here is not the superficial high you get when something maybe goes right for you, and it's there for 5 minutes, then it's gone. It's an effervescent thing. He's talking about a deep inner sense of contentment and well-being before God, that inward sense. And the word is only used four other times in the New Testament, mainly in the context of the Apostle Paul. An example of how else it's used is when Paul is before the governor Felix. He's there before him. Felix has asked him to defend himself. And Paul says, I gladly make my defense before you in Acts chapter 24. There is a gladness, there is a well-being within him that he has this circumstance that he can defend the gospel and defend his apostleship before this governor, Felix. He has a gladness in God because he has this opportunity. That's the sense of the word. So I think it's tied to the state of our hearts in regard to a circumstance or an opportunity that we have. Is anyone suffering? That's a state of heart because of a circumstance. Is any of you cheerful? That's a state of heart because of a circumstance. Is anyone among you sick? It's a circumstance, isn't it? Around us. Paul was able to defend his position out of a deep sense of gladness in God. So I think it's worth remembering, isn't it? There are times of suffering in the Christian life. There are times of gladness, times of joy in the Christian life. There is a variety of circumstances, a variety of situations in which we can find ourselves as believers. The devil says that if you become a Christian, it will be miserable. You won't have any mates, any friends. You're not going to have a good time. You're going to be down this path of dullness and misery. It's going to be a wasted life. But the devil's the father of lies. Because there are times of gladness and joy that far outweigh anything that the world can give for the Christian believer. Is anyone cheerful this morning? Well, what is it that would make you cheerful? What is it that would make you glad in God? Well, turn back to chapter 1 and verse 17. But James lifts our eyes to God. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So if we're glad in God today, if you have joy in your heart, if you know that your soul is blessed this morning, what the reason you are in that state is because you have something from God. Because every perfect gift, every good gift comes down from a Father, from a gracious, loving, kind God who is open-handed towards you, his child, the children of God. He loves us. He showers us with gifts and with blessings. And there is no variation with him. God is gracious and loving and kind and generous to all of his people. Every good and perfect gift. I'm not talking about the pleasures of sin. James is talking about every good gift. What are the gifts that God has given us? In the beginning, let there be what? Light. And God saw the light and it was good. And as you work through creation, everything that he's made, the sky, the oceans, the trees, the plants, the animals, Adam, he made Eve. Life, family, relationships, children, Go to Genesis 2. Work he made is a good gift, although it might not feel like it sometimes. It's a good gift from the Lord. God's generosity is abounding and overflowing towards us. He is the center of all life. He's the center of physical and spiritual life. He is the light of light. The source of grace, the source of love, source of creation. Now, it's a massive truth that should impact our lives. So when James in chapter 5 said, is any of you cheerful? You're going to be cheerful because you've received a gift from the God who is this generous, kind, overflowing giver who gives gift upon gift upon gift upon gift to his people. That is what makes us cheerful. That is what makes us in a well, good state of soul. When we're prospering. So what are these ways? What is this? These good gifts? Let's just list a few of them. There is the good gift of spiritual life. Spiritual life. By his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. If you have spiritual life this morning, that is the greatest gift you could ever have. The gift of eternal life. The gift of new life in Christ. Spiritual life. Your eyes are opened to see the light of the world, Jesus Christ. You have this life. That should make us cheerful. Born into a family. We were orphans in the darkness. And God has adopted it into his family. Shed his love into our hearts. Made us his children through faith in Christ Jesus. That is one, the greatest thing that should make us cheerful this morning. We have Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, as our Savior. That is a good and perfect gift of eternal life. Maybe you are a Christian, but maybe you're benefiting from the Word of God in a way you haven't ever done before. Maybe you've read a Christian book which has explained a passage of the Bible, and you've not seen it that way. The Holy Spirit's opened your eyes to the truth, and your soul's blessed, and you're encouraged. You're cheerful this morning. You're cheerful. Good spiritual health. What else is there? Good financial health. Maybe you're in good financial shape this morning, as a family or as an individual. Maybe you don't have any want in that sense. Might not be a millionaire. Maybe you've worked hard. Maybe God has blessed you in some particular way, financially healthy. That will make you cheerful because the anxiety and the worries about money aren't there. It's a gift from God. Give thanks for that. What about good family health? You're in health. Your family's in health. Your family's in good spiritual health. Maybe your children or your grandchildren are believers. What a position to be in. That should make us cheerful this morning. Maybe there's been a turning point in one of the lives of your children or a breakthrough in some particular way. That should make you have that inner sense of joy and cheerfulness and blessedness. You consider how blessed you are and it makes you smile. Or maybe good occupational health. Maybe your job's going really well. Maybe you've been promoted. Maybe, is it where you're in a position where you're respected? Maybe your witness at work has been solidified in some opportunities in some way. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Maybe you're in your learning, maybe in your school, or maybe at home, you've grasped. Excuse me, you've grasped algebra for the first time. Okay? Things are starting to click for you, or you're starting to read for the first time. How fantastic is that? Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. It can all be traced back to God and his gifts, to us, his people. If that's your condition this morning, if that's how you're feeling, and James is talking to you here. Is anyone among you cheerful? That's your condition. What do we have secondly? The counsel. What do we do? What's the counsel? Let him sing songs of praise. Let him sing psalms. So the word there for singing psalms is originally meant to twang the stringed instrument with the hands. But it then got taken to be used in more of a sacred music context. It's where we get the English word psalm from. And if you know God as the giver of every good gift, this great, generous, abundant, overflowing Father, then you will want to sing praise to him. When you see these things around you are his gifts, when you see they are from the open-handed, gracious Father of lights, then you will want to give songs of praise to him. What does the Bible say about singing? Well, there are over 400 references to singing and 50 direct commands to sing. What does that say about singing? It says there's a lot about it. It says it's something that we should all be doing as believers and as Christian people. The New Testament, we're commanded twice to sing to him in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, as well as in this verse. So give me some reasons. Let's just think about some reasons why we're commanded to sing here. I think the first one is that it identifies you as a believer. It identifies you as a Christian. That's why God wants us to sing. Glorifies him, of course, and we'll think about that in a minute. But it identifies you as one of his. Don't know if you're interested in rugby, but if you turn on the TV and you shut your eyes, and if you hear, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah," can you tell me which rugby team is playing? Peter, any ideas? Wales, that's right. Maybe you don't watch the rugby too much. But they love it. It's in their blood, isn't it? In the Welsh, they love to sing. They love to sing at the rugby. "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." It almost identifies who they are as a nation. When they love rugby and they love to sing to the team, don't they? And they love to sing, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." It's in their blood. It identifies that national team. Well, we may not be Welsh this morning, some of us are, and but we're different, aren't we? But singing identifies us as a Christian. There are many distinguishing features of Christian people: love for Christ, love for God's word, praying to the Lord Jesus Christ, having the indwelling Holy Spirit within us. But singing is also a distinguishing feature of the Christian. Paul in Romans 1 talks about the godless. In Romans 1 there, he talks about them as making idols and turning the good into bad and the bad into good and so on. But he says they do not give thanks to him and they do not praise him or glorify God. So singing to the Lord is something that identifies God's people. As human beings, singing is part of our DNA, isn't it? Whether it's at the rugby or if you turn on the radio, you hear songs. People love to sing about lots of different things, don't they? Whether it's a relationship. People make a lot of money out singing, don't they? Singing is God's gift. Do you know everyone's voice is unique in singing? Everyone has a unique voice. Just like you have a unique thumbprint, you have a unique voice created by God, custom built, is every human being. We all have the same vocal apparatus as Frank Sinatra, as Andrea Bocelli, Justin Timberlake, whoever it might be. We all have the same physicality, and yet we all have different voices. We're made in the image of God to sing as created beings, to sing praise to Him. But when we sing, in our minds we have a concept, we have a thought with our lyrics. There is a desire, there is a connection between our voice and our minds, isn't there, when we sing? And God made it that way, because He made us in His image, to sing songs of praise to Him. I love to hear my children sing. God loves to hear His children sing to Him. I don't think there are, if you think about the religions of the world, think about the religions. Which of them sing like the church, like Christians? Singing has a unique part in the life of the Christian, in the life of the church. Life can be so full of distractions and busyness. Sometimes we can struggle to get engaged in spiritual things, but singing grabs the attention of our senses and focuses them upon God. You know, God sings over His people. God sings over His people. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. Jesus sang with His disciples. The Psalms are full of exhortation to sing. The early church was a singing church. After the resurrection, the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually in the temple praising God. Luke 24 verse 53. So as we count our blessings, as we count the gifts that we have, as we understand they come from the Father of lights, with whom is no shadow due to turning or no variation, then it will trace our hearts, it will fill us with the desire to sing and to praise Him. Thomas Manton, 17th century Puritan, said, "Every new mercy calls for a new song. Every new mercy calls for a new song." Has there been a new mercy shown to you this week? Or I should say, what is the new mercy shown to you this week? Because God's mercies are new every morning. What is the new mercy you've seen this week in your life? That calls for a song. That calls for praise. Calls for a psalm. How, as a believing people, we should respond to God's greatness and glory. And it identifies us. That we're in Christ. We want to sing to Jesus Christ. We want to sing because of the gospel. Is anyone among you cheerful? Let him sing psalms. And the second reason, I want to broaden this out a little bit and just give another application from another part of scripture on this subject. I hope it's helpful. I think it's this, that singing to the Lord helps to keep our souls in good condition. It helps to keep our souls in good condition. As believers, we're to grow in holiness, and I believe singing can have a part within that. I'm not thinking necessarily of congregational singing, but maybe private singing, maybe personal singing. Maybe family singing to Him. So in the Christian life, we're to grow in holiness. We're to grow in likeness to Jesus Christ. How can this help us? Why does He command us to sing here? And how can that help us in the Christian life? Well, the devil comes with his hook. He comes with the bait. He comes with something that's desirable for us, that we might take it. That's what the devil does. He wants to lure us away from God and lure us away from Christ. He wants to inflame the desires of your heart, which are fallen and which are inclined to sin. He wants us to walk away from Jesus Christ. And we're in a battle, aren't we? We're in a spiritual warfare. The Bible is very clear on that. Read Ephesians 6. Read the many other passages which talk about the spiritual darkness and the fight that we're in, or maybe the fight internally with our indwelling sin and self and pride. There is this battle going on that the heart, even if the believer is like a craving beast, it's clawing for, it's hungry for other things, could be hungry for sin. Like a predator can go on the hunt for sin to quench the appetite. And we can have these ungodly desires within us. And Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 5. Just turn with me to Ephesians 5 and verse 18 and 19. Ephesians 5. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's speaking to believers who may be drawn into drunkenness and drawn into some kind of excess, into a sinful indulgence. But what does Paul say here? He says, no, be filled with the Spirit, speak to one another, sing to one another with spiritual songs that make melody in your hearts to the Lord. And the point he's trying to make is, if you're going forwards, you won't be going backwards. You know, drunkenness and excess, it has songs, doesn't it? Show me the way to go home. Yeah, I'm tired and I want to go to bed. Yeah, there are songs about drunkenness. But there are songs for the Lord as well. Sing psalms, sing spiritual songs to the Lord. And if we're singing the Lord's songs, if we're singing to him, the giver of gifts, the giver of all good things, it will keep us from singing the songs of the world. There is the expulsive power of a new song that will keep us from singing the songs of the world. Yesterday, Hannah and I went out for a bike ride. It was pretty cold. Cold hands, cold feet. But you know, if you're going forwards riding a bike, where are you not going? Yeah, you're not going backwards, are you? If you're pushing forward, if you have a momentum going forwards, it will keep you going forwards. Is any among you cheerful? Why? Sing psalms, sing the songs of the Lord, because it keeps the momentum of worship and praise in your life. Then you won't want to go back to the old ways, the ways of the world. Exercise yourself in spiritual worship, and it will set your affections on things above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. The expulsive power of a new song. It stirs us. It moves us. It focuses our eyes on Jesus Christ. Those of you who are cheerful, keep singing. It keeps you pedaling forwards in the Christian life. It keeps you focused as well. When the difficult times come, when Paul and Silas were whipped and were imprisoned in the inner prison, what did they do to stir up their hearts towards God? They prayed and they sung. That's what they did. to Jesus Christ. They fixed their eyes upon him. They raised their courage by singing to the Lord. Somebody said, singing is the vent of our joy. You know, if you're angry, what do you do when you're angry? How do you vent your anger? Shout, don't you? That's what we do. Why are you doing this? But when we're joy, the venting of our joy, the expression of our joy is singing, isn't it? To the Lord. Singing to him. It's like the bellows, as it were, going to fan the flame of our hearts towards Jesus Christ. Those of us who are cheerful, sing psalms. Sing songs of praise. So what music do we listen to? You get in the car in the morning, you go to work. What's the music that you listen to? You're in this spiritual battle. You're in this warfare. What music do you listen to? You're at home with the kids. Kids pick up songs so easily, don't they? We were having dinner a few weeks ago, and the children had just been down at the boy's house who lives, his garden backs onto ours. We're just having dinner, and Stanley said, "No more heroes anymore." Okay, if you know that, you might not know it, but it's by the Stranglers. Where did you learn that from? Yeah, you just got to be in an environment and you're picking up the songs, aren't you? Effectively, Smoke on the Water is another one that the kids have picked up. Well, they picked it up by being in somebody else's house. Okay? So the songs that we have in our home is so important. So important. Because we learn the lyrics. The kids learn the lyrics as well. There's an article on Desiring God website about this. And the suggestion was, what do you listen to on your iPhone or on the phone that you have? Create a playlist. Call it Battle Songs. Put some good Christian music on it, or some worship music. You don't have to listen to worship music all the time or Christian music all the time, I'm not saying that. But have your Battle Songs playlist, because when your heart is feeling drawn away from God, put your headphones on and listen to the music. Listen to the words, because they will exalt God. They will bring glory to him and show his glory. They will remind you of the gospel. They'll remind you of Jesus Christ. They'll remind you of what you have in him. And when those sinful desires, as it were, well up, think, sing, focus. The explosive power of a new affection, of a new song before him. Weaponize your phone with battle songs. So that what you're left with when you get to work, or what you're left with in the home when it goes quiet, are the songs that glorify God and warm your heart and enrich your vocabulary and enrich your prayers and make you spiritually alert and aware. Weaponize your phone. Create a Battle Songs playlist. So back to James 5. Is anyone among you cheerful? Let us sing songs. Can be a real blessing to others as well. John Piper tells a story of when he was on holiday on furlough in the UK. He and Noel, and they were in an apartment. I guess it was some kind of Christian accommodation. Because in the morning, when they got up, the first thing they heard was singing. There was a Korean couple in the flat above, and they sung to the Lord. And he said that was the best thing about this holiday, the most refreshing thing that he experienced, was hearing others devotionally, privately, although it must have been thin walls, singing to the Lord. Well, what condition and heart are you in this morning? Are you cheerful? You have so much to be thankful for. good spiritual health, good financial health, good family health, good occupational health, whatever it might be. And what is the counsel here? To sing to the Lord shows that you are a real Christian. You can sing here. Do we sing on our own? Do we sing in our families? What's the ethos that we have in our homes? Is it one that glorifies God? What are the songs the children are learning? Will they enrich them with lyrics that are God glorifying, will help them for their battle as they go on in their generation? So, chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. So when the world is on top of you, what are you to do? Pray. When you are on top of the world, what are you to do? Sing psalms. Praise. May God help us to do so. Amen. Let's pray. Well, we thank you for your words. We thank you for this verse. And we pray you might help us in this battle with sin that we experience day to day, that we might be those that sing to you for your greatness and your goodness. We might declare your praise, that we might be those moving forward in momentum, those, Lord, who learn the words of the great songs of the church and of Christian artists that are so helpful in enriching and furnishing our minds with the gospel and the truth of your word. Help us, we pray, to have our eyes and our minds and our hearts fixed on you, on Christ, who is at the right hand of God. Oh, bless us then, we pray. Write your word in our hearts, for we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Right, so this is really summed up in number 34 in the church hymn book. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. Tender to me the promise of his word. In God my Saviour shall my heart rejoice. Number 34. Bless you. and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Oh, Father in heaven, bless your word to us, we pray. Look upon us in grace and in mercy. Bless us in the rest of the day, we pray, for we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.